Welcome to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. Well, Judy, I think we are finally really into spring. We had some warm weather last weekend and early in the week, and really an exciting time of year. Everything's happening.
Oh, yeah. It was a great week, but I have this nagging sensation that reality is going to come back here really soon.
You think, huh?
We're going to have a snowstorm in April, I'm afraid. Maybe more than one.
Just in time for early turkey hunting.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's plenty of gobbling happening in the hills. Those birds have to be getting warmed up. They're going to feel the spring fever just like we are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I had my Learn to Hunt turkey hunting seminar last weekend, and then I went scouting with my hunter, who's a young fellow named Corey Mallinger, and he's 16 years old, and we spent a couple hours walking the land that we're going to hunt, and we didn't see any turkeys, but we saw plenty of sign. We saw scratchings and saw some droppings, some tracks, and I'm actually hunting this Saturday, so for a lot of listeners, that's today. While you're listening, I'll be out there in the woods, hopefully calling in a turkey for this young fellow to shoot.
Yeah, well, I had some wildlife that I saw this week that I haven't actually told you about.
Okay.
I was out Monday in the warm weather, and I was out playing with my son in the street, and overhead flew four whooping cranes.
Whoopers?
Whoopers.
You're sure?
I am positive. White.
Yeah.
Redhead.
Yeah.
Big wingspan.
Yep.
Flying in very close formation. If I had been standing on the roof of my house, I could have touched them.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe it. The first whoopers I've ever seen in the wild.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, this is phenomenal. Because you were talking last week, oh, the cranes are here. And I'm, I haven't seen them. And then those right over.
Holy
so some
cow.
Of them survived that that storm in Florida.
Yeah.
They were that. I mean, they were so close. There's no mistaking them. And then, you know, we live on a pond.
Yep.
The buffleheads have been swimming around the back.
Okay.
And we went for a walk the other day and saw a couple hooded mergansers, you know, so the ducks are starting to come in, which is just so cool. And then, you know, a friend of ours saw a wolf in Jefferson County.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting wildlife viewing going on this time of year. It's really cool.
And a wolf in Jefferson County, people are going, no way. But this is a gentleman who's hunted all his life, and his first thought was, oh, that's a coyote. And then he said, no, it's too big for a coyote. That's a deer. And then he said, wait a minute, it's not running like a deer. And he had a good long look at it.
Yeah, he's a credible source. So it's like, wow, a lot of things going on.
That's right, and the local fishing is starting to heat up, and we'll talk a little more about that later on in the show. But we've got a giveaway, don't we?
Yes, we do. We were giving away a G. Loomis tackle bag this week, and we got a lot of entries. But this week's winner is Terry Ryan. And Terry, I'm not sure where you're from, but we'll send you an email and get your address so we can mail that bag out to you. And then we have another tackle bag to give away this week. It is from Shimano, and it's a nice big waterproof tackle bag for all of your equipment. So if you'd like to get entered for that, you have to go to our website at lake-link.com, keyword radio, and click on Contact Dan and Judy and say, hey, I want to win that Shimano tackle bag, and that's for next week.
That's right, and you can also sign up for our e-newsletter right there on that same page when you click on Contact Dan and Judy, and we'll send you a message every week letting you know what this week's show is all about. You know, Judy, speaking of wildlife sightings, did I show you that photo at the sports show? That
yes, you did.
I wish the guy I had asked for his name, and I didn't. Forgot to do that. In fact, if he's listening, maybe he'll send us an email. Folks, this is a full-grown mountain lion and captured by a trail camera, probably a Cuddyback trail camera, in November in Wisconsin. And he wrote Phelps, Wisconsin, which is up in up near North Twin Lake, Vilas County area, and there's no mistaking that is. And in fact, someone said that that's a probably a 150 or 175 pound cat that looks like it just ate because its belly is hanging down there pretty good.
Well, it's just amazing what those digital cameras can capture. I mean, we're looking at it. It's a color photo to start with, you know, and there is no doubt what it is, the clarity of it and everything. And it's blown up to about almost an 8x11. I mean, it's on an 8x11 sheet of paper.
Yep.
And there's no doubting that that's what that is. So a lot of wildlife is doing well in Wisconsin.
I guess so.
So, but what's on this week's show?
Well, we're going to talk with Gordon Whittington of North American Whitetail Magazine and Television for our final segment in the series leading up to the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo, which is going on this weekend at the Exposition Hall in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center. And he's going to talk about food plots and what folks need to do to have food plots to improve habitat for wildlife. And we'll also talk with Jim Gronier, who is a wingbone call maker. In fact, he made that call.
That's beautiful.
That I gave you.
Yeah, I can use it a lot better than I can those mouth calls. So.
Well, and it's another style of mouth call.
Uh-huh.
And we'll also talk with Roger LePenter up on Lake Superior just to see how the ice fishing is going there.
Okay.
Or if they're making the transition yet to open water fishing. And we're going to introduce our listeners to a young fellow named Johnny Schultz.
Oh, he is phenomenal. One of the youngest bass pro fishermen ever, probably. The Tiger Woods of bass fishing. So he's going to help us help kids get out there and start fishing.
That's right. He's from West Bend, Wisconsin. He's 12 years old. He's won all kinds of trophies and medals already in his young professional fishing career. And
yeah, I'm envious.
He's exciting. He's exciting to talk to.
We're going to see what kind of tips I can glean from him.
All right. Well, we'll be back with all those stories and more right after this. I've been pitching and flipping and cranking all over this hole. With the fish I've stuck and a little more luck, I might win me a couple $100, and I'm thinking that'll be just about... This is Dan Small for Aquarius Sale. Located at Capitol Drive and Pewaukee Road in Pewaukee, Aquarius Sale has been serving Milwaukee since 1987. Experience the SUV of kayaks, the Hobie Mirage. The Mirage offers hands-free fishing and hunting with the new pedal design, or check out traditional kayaks like Pungo and Pamlico from Wilderness. Call John at 262-691-3794 for all your sailing and kayaking needs. That's Aquarius Sale, 262-691-3794. More news, more information, more fishing. The new LakeLink has arrived.
If you've been fishing as long as we have, you'll really appreciate all that LakeLink has to offer. Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. LakeLink has been providing daily reports from the lakes and rivers you want to fish for over 10 years.
If you become a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure that you find that are not on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates right on your map. You'll also be able to sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
And coming soon, look for me, Judy Nugent, in the new women's section, offering tips and advice for women who love the outdoors.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. Send us your ideas and enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways, all on lake-link.com, keyword radio.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
This next segment is brought to you by Tallgrass Restoration, now with offices in Milton, Wisconsin. Call Tallgrass Restoration for prairie planting or waterfront restoration, 608-531-1768, or on the web at tallgrassrestoration.com.
Well, Judy, with turkey season just around the corner, in fact, I'm hunting this weekend within my Learn to Hunt program.
Oh, cool. You should hear a lot of gobbles.
I think so. And I thought it would be a good time to talk to Jim Gronier of Grenier's Custom Calls, the gentleman who gave you that wingbone call that I see you're wearing around your neck today.
Yeah, and you met him a couple months ago at some kind of calling contest?
Well, I met him at the National Wild Turkey Federation Midwest Regional Convention and Call Carving Competition. Okay. Say that five times real fast. And Jim, are you on the line there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Jim and his wife, Darlene, make custom calls of all sorts. They make box calls and wingbone calls and others. And, Jim, you had some luck in the – I shouldn't say luck. You had some great success in the Midwest competition this year, didn't you?
Yes, we did. My wife and I, she makes her own call, and I make some, but we combine them when we put them in, and we happen to win six ribbons at the Midwest convention.
And how did you do in the national? That was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we entered 11 decorative calls and won 8 ribbons.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's the one that I'm holding is beautiful. I mean, it's well wrapped. It's shiny. It's a very interesting call.
Your website it's a little complicated to get to, but I think if people just do a search for what Grenier Wingbone Calls.
Yes, just Grenier, and it brings up different ones. It'll bring up the website on for the wingbone calls, and also one for the information on my box calls as well.
Uh-huh. And, Grenier, for folks who don't know, Jim, is spelled Grenier. But if we're looking at your Wingbone Calls website now, and you actually take people step by step through the process of making one, and this is a call that's actually made from the wing bone of a wild turkey, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to correct you on that a little bit. I have a number of calls made from different bird wings.
Uh-huh.
I started out playing with different wings, and I've got them all the way from sandhill crane down to guinea hens.
No kidding. And I suppose they sound different from the different birds.
Yeah,
right?
Every one sounds different. Of course, size-wise is different. Uh-huh. A sandhill crane call is a fairly long call. It's probably two and a half feet long because of the size of their wings.
How did you get those bones?
We were out in North Dakota goose hunting, and we happened to get some sandhill cranes.
Huh, okay.
Which are legal to hunt in the Dakotas and Nebraska and I don't know where else. But
well, down in Texas.
Uh-huh.
I do also have one that is made from a tundra swan, which are legal down in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And also out in the West Coast in places. I know up in Alaska you can hunt tundra swans. And those are big bones. Those the bones run different in size. When you talk about the sound on the mouthpiece, the bigger the mouthpiece, the deeper the sound will be.
Okay. Well, Jim, tell us briefly, how do you make a wingbone call?
You get the bones, and normally people say they like to use wild turkey bones, but I have used tame turkey. You know, after you get done with your Thanksgiving dinner, you get your wingbones left, and you take the three major bones and boil them up and get all the fat and gristle and everything off that you can. I'll then cut the ends off, and the humerus bone has webbing on the inside. It looks like a honeycomb, which you have to take out. The other two bones, the ulna and radia, have marrow in, which I normally use like a pipe cleaner to clean that out with. You can take an air compressor and blow it out and clean that out. And I'll reboil them and probably use some liquid soap that's got degreaser in it to clean them up as much as possible. And then I go down and see my friendly hairdresser and get 40 volume hydrogen peroxide. And this is what I'll soak the bones overnight in this hydrogen peroxide. And normally they come out white. For some reason, some of them don't, and I don't know why. If there's too much fat in them or what it is. After I get them cleaned up, I'll fit them. I usually fit them together, and I'll tape the joints and try them until I get the sound that I like. everybody's got a different sound that they like. And then after that, I'll mark them and glue them together. I use 5-minute epoxy. And then I use, being that I make a decorative one, I taper the joints. I use some stuff called epoxy sculpt that taxidermists use. And I'll put this on. Well, I'll sand it as much as I can. And then I'll put it on a buffing wheel using white rouge, and I'll buff them down so they're white. That one you got, Judy, I think is pretty white.
Oh, yes, very nice. And then it's wrapped in a special colored thread.
That's the same as I use when I was making fishing rods. It's a regular rod thread. I've developed a little jig that holds the thread while I'm wrapping it. All the thread that you see on it, all the color that you see on there is actual thread.
Okay.
Some people paint it, but I don't. I use thread for wrapping. And then I put a, it's called Flex Coat. It's a brand name that it's the same as goes on the guides of fishing rods as a protective coating.
Okay, now that's pretty elaborate for making a decorative call, but to just do a basic hunting call, you would cut the bones, join them together somehow, and then just practice making a sound from them, right?
Yes. It's a kissing sound. You put it just barely in your lip. I like to use the side of my mouth, and it's you're sucking in on the air coming through the bone, vibrating through your lips is what makes the sound. Now, it takes a little practice to get it positioned just right. To get the sound that you want. I've gotten now, and I don't know if yours is or not, Judy, but the end of the mouthpiece, I put a bevel on the bottom.
Yep.
That way you can adjust it, and you can a little more air or a little less air in as you're playing it, and that way you can change the pitch of the call.
Now, have you got one handy there?
Yeah. You want a 2-bone or 3-bone?
What's Judy got? A 2-bone there?
2-bone.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like I got a bunch of stuff.
Sounds like a bunch of bones rattling around there.
Yeah. Okay, here's a 2-bone.
All right. Well, why don't you give us a little lesson on that, and we'll see how Judy does.
Okay.
Now, that sounded like some pretty good clucking.
Yeah. I do a lot of clucking with mine. There's some people that I've seen play them, and I'll tell you, it's just unbelievable what they can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Judy, with yours, trying it, you know, if you cup your hand over the bottom of the call and then open it up, you'll get a little different pitch,
mm-hmm.
a little different volume with it.
Okay.
I don't know if you tried that or not.
Well, I can try it.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Is that bringing a turkey in?
I don't know if anybody told you or not, but if you take and put a little water down the bone, it'll change the pitch of the call.
Okay, so they work in the rain.
They'll work in the rain. You know, the original turkey call, it's the original Indian turkey call. They found them in excavations from 6,000 years ago. So, they, you know, they got a long history. Of course, the original ones are nowhere near what they are today. A lot of people, they'll make the wing bone call, but they don't make them decorative. As you were saying earlier, Dan, they just make, you know, the hunting class ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I like mine to look nice, but I want them to sound nice, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, Judy and I need to practice a little bit here on both of us. And I've got one of those wingbone style call, or I don't know, what do you call that call that you gave me?
That's a tree yelper, they call it.
A tree yelper, okay.
Yeah.
And
it works on the same principle as a wingbone.
I can get a cluck out of it, but to make it yelp, it's a little more of a challenge.
Kind of go up.
Something like that?
Yeah, right.
Well, Jim, are you hunting this spring?
Yes, I put in for fourth period. We out in Crawford County,
mm-hmm.
and my wife and of course we both hunt, and she put in for third period, and I put in for fourth. That way we go together. You know, we go separately together, right?
Great idea.
And then we normally go up to the UP of Michigan. I have a friend of mine has some property up by Powers, Michigan.
Oh, sure.
Normally, the first part of the season's not gone cold, and I don't think it's going to be this year, though.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
No.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for sharing your story about making calls and giving us a little lesson there, and we wish you luck this spring.
Okay, you too. I don't know if, you know, in Wisconsin, you cannot sell wild turkey wing bones.
Oh, okay.
And on the website, it says that.
Okay.
Some states you can't. Some states you can't even possess them.
Really?
Even though you buy them from out of state.
Mm.
I just thought, just as a passing thought.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
You don't want to get somebody pinched.
Yeah. Well, Jim, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
You bet. And that was Jim Gronier of Gronier's Custom Turkey Calls. He's from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you can learn more about his calls by going to Gronier Wingbone Calls, Gronier Wingbone Calls on any search engine.
That segment was brought to you by Tallgrass Restoration. If you are thinking of restoring your prairie or waterfront shoreline, call Tallgrass at 608-531-1768. Well, it's time once again for our No Child Left Inside, brought to you this week by the Learn to Hunt program. If you care about the future of hunting in Wisconsin, then get involved. Join the Learn to Hunt program. And, Dan, you know that I was at that Bass Pro Spring Classic a little while ago, and I kept hearing all this buzz. And then someone else, John Mazurkiewicz, a friend of yours from Shimano, was like, oh, you got to meet this new star. And I'm like, who is everybody talking about? Well, here it's Johnny Schultz, the youngest member of the Pro Bass Tournament field, and he's 12 years old. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was impressed when I met Johnny at the sports show. He
yes.
came down and spent some time in our family adventure pavilion, and we have him on the line. Johnny, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, Dan.
That's great. Now, Johnny's from West Bend, and Johnny, you really have done quite a lot for a young angler in just a few years.
Yeah, I really have, and I'm really fortunate to be with some of the best names in the company for my sponsors, and I met a lot of great people through the business. I've been to a lot of Bassmaster Classics, and I'm hoping to continue this and become a bass angler someday.
Well, someday you already are. I think you mean do that as a profession, right?
Yes, I can.
Well, a lot of people have referred to you as the Tiger Woods of bass fishing. Tell me, how did all this get started?
Well, actually, it's kind of ironic because when I was younger, I really loved nature and studying the habitat and all the animals. And one day I happened to go to a DNR seminar to learn more about nature, and there was a fishing course. And I took it, and I learned a lot about fishing, all the different kinds of fish, how to cast, tie knots, different hooks, baits, all kinds of things. And after that, I went to a casting competition, and this is when I was only 6 years old. And this one boy, he kept on bragging that he was the best caster in our group, and he had won the day before. He was a 14-year-old. And I showed up, and I beat him. So that's how I got really started. And then after that, the man, he told me about this event called Casting Kids. And Casting Kids is a really great event, and I think we'll be talking about that a little bit later. And so I did a Casting Kids event, and I made the state. And I happened to win against the national champion, who was also from Wisconsin. And I beat him, and I went to the national semifinals. I didn't win that year, but the next year I made it all the way to the nationals and won in 2003.
So you won the national kids casting competition.
Yep. And then that year I actually met Earl Bentz, and he just made a handshake deal with me when I was 8 years old to be on the Triton Pro staff. And after that, I've lined up all my other sponsors, and he helped me a lot to get all of them.
Now, who is Earl Bentz for people who don't know him?
Earl Bentz is the owner and of Triton boats.
Okay, so you won all these casting contests kind of for accuracy, but how did you learn how to catch fish, turn that skill into actually catching fish?
Well, what I did is I love to study all different kinds of magazines and TV shows, and I'm actually picking up golf right now. And a lot of people are blown away that I know so much, but really about the game. I've only been playing for about a couple months now. But I study all the different magazines and books and watch the television shows. And if you do that, you're really going to be able to learn more about fishing and learn the tactics. And then you have to remember these. And this is where fishing comes into a lot of memory, because if you don't remember how the fish are reacting one day, you may not be able to take that to another lake. And I can do that, and that's how I think I can really catch more fish.
Yeah, I think you've probably forgotten more than I've learned. Yeah, it's true, though. Time on the water and experience and, you know, connecting the dots. I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah, and I don't have a boat yet, so I still don't have as much experience on the water. So what I really like to do is just go out, watch TV shows, and practice in my backyard and set up scenarios and tell myself, what would I do? Because I can't go fishing all the time. And I can't fish certain situations off the shore all the time. You can fish a lot of different ways off the shore, but sometimes you need to be in a boat. And I now am going into the junior bass events, and I actually made it to the Junior World Championship this year for bass. And this is in the fishing. And I was the Wisconsin State Champion, and I got second angler of the year this year, and last year I was angler of the year at 9. And I beat out a 18-year-old to win that. So now I'm just I play 7th in the Junior World Championship. Now this year, Earl is going to try to hook me up with a boat, and I'm going to try to learn a lot more and make the juniors and win it this year.
Well, Johnny, I like that determination, and you've got quite a track record already for a young angler, and you obviously have put that knowledge to use, because if people go to your website, johnnyschultz.com, and it's JohnnySchultz.com, they'll see pictures of you holding some pretty hefty bass and a big smile on your face.
Yep, that's me at the Junior World Championship.
Well, Johnny, thanks a lot for talking to us, and we'll send folks to your website, and you'll talk to us again soon, won't you?
Yes, I will.
All right. Bye now.
Okay. Bye, Dan.
All right. That was just our No Child Left Inside, brought to you by the Learn to Hunt program. If you care about the future of hunting in Wisconsin, then get involved. Join the DNR's Learn to Hunt program.
This next hunting tip is brought to you by the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo. March 30th through April 1st at the Alliant Energy Center Exposition Hall in Madison. For more information, go to deerinfo.com. And we have one of the seminar speakers on the line with us, Gordon Whittington, who is editor-in-chief of North American Whitetail Magazine and TV. And Gordon, I think your name is pretty well known to deer hunters around the country.
Well, Dan, we certainly have a lot of readers and a lot of viewers up in that part of the Midwest and have had for many years. We appreciate them, too.
And you're speaking on a very specific topic. It's food plots and food plot management, I understand. And this is a kind of a mega seminar with two other speakers, right?
Correct. We have it's a two-hour format. We have three speakers within that two-hour time frame, and it's being done once each of the 3 days of the show. So it's kind of a unique format, if you would, because normally you don't put three people together that have similar aspects of a broader overall topic to talk about, but in this case we do. I lead off with talking about food plots and native habitat management for whitetails. Michael Fall, who is an expert on ATVs and ATV implements and using them on your land, he comes up next, and then Tony LaPrat, who has some really unique ideas about small tract management, not just hunting the property but also managing it. He rounds out the three-speaker approach.
Well, what advice are you going to be giving to Wisconsin's deer hunters?
Well, when you look at it, there are so many aspects to whitetail management and wildlife management in general that, you know, you can't give them all in 2 hours. We're not even going to pretend that we can. That's a subject of a year-long discussion probably. But what we're going to try to do is touch on the on the topics that are the greatest interest to the greatest number of people who have private land or access to private land, not only for hunting but for management purposes. We feel like we can at least stimulate the thought process, get people to thinking about what they can do on their property that's cost effective and pays off with the greatest results the quickest.
Well, Gordon, since you lead off, what is it that you're going to be sharing with folks?
Well, the first thing is the idea that food plots really can make a difference, even on a small piece of property. They not only can hold the deer there better for hunting purposes, but also give those deer a focal point to orient their feeding patterns around and hopefully keep those deer on and around your property where you can have more control over what happens to those deer. And certainly there are many options for doing this with not only food plots, but some native habitat management tricks that not necessarily well known, but are highly effective.
Okay. Well, folks, to hear more from Gordon and Tony LaPrat and Mike Faw, you want to check out their seminar going on this weekend, all 3 days, at the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. For more information, go to deerinfo.com.
You get a wiggly worm and then you watch him squirm while you put him on the hook and then you drop him in the brook. And if everything's going to turn out right, you're going to fry fish tonight, country boy. You're lucky free.
This is Dan Small for Aquarius Sale. Located at Capitol Drive and Pewaukee Road in Pewaukee, Aquarius Sale has been serving Milwaukee since 1987. Experience the SUV of kayaks, the Hobie Mirage. The Mirage offers hands-free fishing and hunting with the new pedal design, or check out traditional kayaks like Pungo and Pamlico from Wilderness. Call John at 262-691-3794 for all your sailing and kayaking needs. That's Aquarius Sale, 262-691-3794.
Do you love to hunt and be in Wisconsin's great outdoors? Then we need you. Hello, this is Conservation Warden John King, inviting you to get involved. The Wisconsin DNR needs qualified hunters like you to be part of our Learn to Hunt program. Learn to Hunt helps people interested in hunting, both youngsters and adults, first in the classroom and then in the field, with an experienced hunter like you, who can show them how to hunt safely and ethically. As a field mentor, I guarantee that giving someone their first high-quality, safe field experience will be as rewarding for you as it will be memorable for them. Pass on your experience. Pass on our hunting tradition. To learn more, simply search the web for the Wisconsin Learn to Hunt program. Do your part today. Pass on Wisconsin's outdoor heritage. The DNR wants you to have a safe and enjoyable time in Wisconsin's outdoors.
Spring is a great time to restore the health, integrity, and natural beauty of your property. Call Tallgrass Restoration for help. Now serving Wisconsin and northern Illinois, Tallgrass specializes in prairie installation and woodland management. From seedling or planting of native grasses and beautiful wildflowers to maintenance and stewardship and controlled burns, Tallgrass is your one-stop shop. If your property is overrun with invasive or noxious plants, call Tallgrass. They can help you solve the problem. If you own lakefront property, Tallgrass can restore the splendor and health of your shoreline, making you the envy of everyone on the lake. Call the licensed professionals and ecological consultants of Tallgrass Restoration. Call 608-531-1768. That's 608-531-1768. That's 608-531-1768. 531-1768, or visit them on the web at tallgrassrestoration.com.
Well, Judy, we've heard from fishermen who've been out in the rivers and starting to fish lakes already. In fact, I was in Ozaukee County scouting for turkeys the other day.
Okay.
Drove past a little pond that can't be more than 2 acres in size. There was ice still on half the pond, and there were two guys in a bass boat in the other part of the pond. I'm sure they were fishing panfish.
Yeah, well, when you get the bug, you get the bug, so you got to get out there and start fishing. I know a lot of folks have been fishing down in Illinois because the season doesn't close, so they've been going after muskie. I talked to pro bass fisherman Ron Urich. He won the Northland Bass Tournament a couple of years, and he caught 41 bass over the weekend in Illinois. Yeah, it was an early bite, you know, all catch and release, because obviously, you know, that's what he's into. But, yeah, if you're really looking to scratch that itch, you can go down to Illinois.
Well, how was he fishing?
He was fishing out of his boat. I didn't ask his technique. I'm guessing it's going to be small baits, very slow. Nothing top water, because the water still hasn't warmed up enough. So those fish are going to have a small strike zone, so to speak. So you're going to have to get it right in front of their nose. But I didn't ask him about technique. And I know, speaking of that kind of fishing, too, the perch fishing is going to start heating up. Milwaukee Harbor, well, all the harbors, and especially south. If you can go to Illinois or Indiana, that perch bite will turn on before the Wisconsin perch bite will. But that's going to start happening any day here.
Now, how big were those bass, did he tell you?
Yeah, he didn't tell me.
Largemouths?
Yeah, yeah. He invited me out to go fishing with them, so we're going to do that pretty shortly.
You know, I wouldn't discount topwater in early season.
Really?
Up in, you know, when I lived up in Bayfield County, one opening day back in the late 70s, early 80s, I caught what is still the biggest Wisconsin largemouth I've ever caught, 6.5 pounds, on a hula popper on opening
really?
Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Unbelievable. It was in one of those little walk-in wilderness lakes. You know the area, Rainbow
sure.
Lake Wilderness. And I dragged my canoe in, and I was working the shore. I was just, I don't know, I was fishing all around the lake and saw movement in the shallows. And so I started throwing little rapalas and surface baits in the shallows. And I know I caught a couple perch that way, and I caught a couple smaller bass. But this bass was out in the open in the middle of nowhere, and... Okay. It must have been a warm May.
Yeah.
I don't remember much because it was that long ago, but actually came up for a topwater on opening day.
Well, the warmest water is going to be in the shallows and probably on the north end of the lake where it's exposed to the sun. So he's probably out there sunning himself, you know, so that makes a lot of sense. But I know, too, another very hot bite is a walleye bite. Mississippi River, Alma floats, you know, below the dams, Genoa. I have reports from both. They did very well at Alma last weekend. 13-pound northern.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a nice fish.
Yeah, that they released because it was full of eggs. 10-pound walleye, you know, a bunch of 6-pound and 5-pound walleye, some saugers mixed in there, and suckers. They were people were taking the suckers and apparently using the meat for pickling, which I've never done. Maybe if someone knows how to do that, they let us know. But I would call them like cherry buckets, like the 5-gallon cherry buckets that you get, or not 5-gallon, but like 3-gallon buckets. They were filling up with the sucker meat. You know, it's like, all right, that's cool. And then down in Genoa, some big walleyes, but a lot of saugers, and I'm sure just more and more are going to start coming up. My brother was out there fishing, and they did really well on that. So it's starting to heat up.
Well, Mark Clements last week told us at Clements Fishing Barge there in Genoa, he told us that when the suckers come, the walleyes aren't far behind.
That's the sign, yeah.
And you know, suckers, speaking of suckers, you can grab them in trout streams. You've got to catch them by hand. You can't, if the fishing season is closed for hook and line.
Okay.
But you can actually wade in these little streams and kind of chase them up into a riffle and grab that sucker. We did a story, a segment on that many years ago in Outdoor Wisconsin. It was a gas. And we did it with a fellow from Fond du Lac County who showed us how to clean them and pickle them.
And we
did the whole thing. And then we tasted some that his wife had made. They were great.
All right. I'll have to get the vintage Outdoor Wisconsin footage. But that's good to know because we'll go steelhead fishing here, you know, as soon as it starts getting better and better. And my kids will love to, you know, splash around in the stream. And you always see the suckers. And I'll just send them in after them.
There you go.
Say, go catch those. Keep yourself occupied while Mom fishes. So.
Yeah, just tell them to grab that sucker. They'll have fun. Speaking of steelhead on the Milwaukee River, last week when we were taping Outdoor Wisconsin, we tape every Tuesday early afternoon there. I saw a gentleman catch and release a very nice steelhead when the water was still pretty high.
Okay.
And I imagine it's getting better now. I haven't had a chance to get out because I've been scouting turkeys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had that rain a little while back. Of course, the spring runoff melt, all that is blowing out those rivers and sending the scent of those rivers into the lakes, and those fish are just going to be out there either staging or smelling their home waters and starting to come in. It's going to be a good spring.
And we've been hearing from other folks. People are fishing at the pier, of course, catching walleyes there.
I heard 50 to 100 a day.
Oh, that's not uncommon.
Wow.
Because they stack up below the dam. And, of course, dams on the Rock River and other rivers that have a dam where the fish will get up only so far.
Okay.
They're really quite vulnerable right now, and most of those rivers are open to fishing. Now, you did some river fishing when you were up in Appleton, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. I remember fishing De Pere. We could fish there by Lawrence, you know, there on the Fox River. We could go over to De Pere, kind of in the shadow of St. Norbert's College, and you go right there, and you can get a lot of nice walleye this time of year. We didn't fish right next to the dam, you know, but I'm sure you can. Like you say, it gets impassable, so the fish can't go any further. And you can sit there. It's swift current, if memory serves. So you got to get your bait down low and know where the bottom is so that you can be more effective. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What's really nice is you can catch those walleyes during the day. You don't have to go at night, and you can still have a good day.
Well, we've done a number of segments there over the years for Outdoor Wisconsin, and I think about the third or fourth one we went with Jim Kalkofen, who used to be with Mercury Marine, and he said, this is where I go when I have to catch walleyes. And it's, you know, it's not always a slam dunk, but it's as close to a sure thing as you'll find in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't always keep them, though, because the ones we have kept kind of taste like paper factory, but depends on which ones you get.
that's one reason that that area has a special size limit on walleyes in the spring. You've got the one fish over 28 inches rule.
Okay.
Because it's a fishery that can produce a trophy fish, and fish that size are really loaded with all the contaminants that are still in the Fox River, even though there's been some cleanup.
Oh, it's much better than it used to be, yeah. So go and have fun, but you might just practice catch and release.
Exactly. Well, it's time once again for our Ashland Area Lake Superior Fishing Report, brought to you by the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce, on the web at visitashland.com. And, Judy, we've been looking at fishing down here changing now that our snow's gone and our ice is gone, and I wonder what it's doing up north.
Well, I think this warm weather has gone all throughout the state. So, and joining us, we have Roger LePenter from Anglers All in Ashland. And, Roger, how warm is it up there?
Well, today we're looking at about 72 degrees and foggy. I can barely see the lake from the shop.
So what's the fishing like? What's going on?
Well, you know, the ice is very marginal at this time. If people are ice fishing, we'd tell them you're walking only. There's no more machines on it. And the shoreline's going real fast. The ice out in the bay itself is still in very good shape. It's just the shorelines are going.
So if you could helicopter out to it, you'd be fine, right?
Absolutely. And we had some fellows pushing boats out across the open water and to get on the ice. And there's still spots you can walk out from shore.
What are they catching now?
It's pretty much the same thing, a little bit of everything. The perch fishing's been very good. The northern fishing's been good. The walleyes have been showing up in the afternoons. There's still a zillion cohos around and even some whitefish and herring.
Now, the steelhead season opens this weekend.
That's the good news. Right now, things are looking quite good for it. The runoff is, there's still a little snow in the woods. There's a lot in some of the hillsides. So it's starting to trickle down with this warm weather, and the rivers are a little off color, which is good. And by the weekend, we should be in good shape.
Do you see any of them staging, like getting ready outside the mouths of the river?
Oh, no question about it. A lot of the guys have targeted the river mouths for the last 4 or 5 days, picking up some very nice legal-sized fish.
Are they using spoons or are they using spawn?
They're using mostly shiners yet.
Huh, okay.
The spawn fishermen have been kind of holding back. I think they're waiting for the streams to open up.
Now, you mentioned legal fish. What is a legal steelhead on Lake Superior and the streams? And tell us a little bit about the regs there.
The regs read one fish 26 inches or larger. The majority of the fish we're seeing caught are in that 26, 27 inch range, but we've seen them up to 30 inches so far.
Well, that's a nice fish. So, I mean, what do you recommend for guys that have cabin fever and you've got, you know, water along the shore and ice in the middle of the lake? You know, how do you cure that cabin fever? What's the best thing to go fishing for?
Well, it's a great time to get your spring gear together. we've got fellows buying already trolling spoons because the minute the ice goes out, we're going to see the cohos extremely active. There's such large numbers of them in the bay this year, it should be just real easy to get trolling. We're just kind of telling people, get ready for the spring. Get ready for steelhead. There's still some good pan fishing, but, you know, this time of year, it's so iffy just getting out on the ice. It takes some pretty gutsy fishermen to get out there and spend time on the ice at this time.
Now, I understand you and Carolyn are going to be at the Midwest Fly Fishing Show in the Twin Cities this weekend.
Yeah, we are. It's probably one of the best shows I actually attend. And we're going to do a booth for the Chamber of Commerce and promote our wonderful Northland.
So what are you going to tell folks?
Well, we're going to talk about the stream fishing because this is a fly fishing show, and it seems like most of the fly fishermen are a little more interested in the stream fishing. I'm certainly going to promote the bay itself for the wonderful smallmouth fishery that we have in the Big Northerns.
Well, listen, you have a great trip to the Twin Cities.
Thank you.
And we'll call you in a couple weeks. By then, maybe everybody will be on open water, and we can have a great early season report.
That sounds real good. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Raj.
Okay.
That was Roger LePenter of Anglers All in Ashland, and you can reach him at 715-682-5754 or look for him at the Midwest Fly Fishing Show in the Twin Cities this weekend. And that report was brought to you by the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce on the web at visitashland.com.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
This is Dan Small for Aquarius Sale. Located at Capitol Drive and Pewaukee Road in Pewaukee, Aquarius Sale has been serving Milwaukee since 1987. Experience the SUV of kayaks, the Hobie Mirage. The Mirage offers hands-free fishing and hunting with the new pedal design, or check out traditional kayaks like Pungo and Pamlico from Wilderness. Call John at 262-691-3794 for all your sailing and kayaking needs. That's Aquarius Sale, 262-691-3794.
Well, Dan, what's on Outdoor Wisconsin next week?
Well, Judy, next week is that segment where you and Jill Wegner were fly fishing for bluegills out of those kayaks.
Oh, lots of fun. Yeah, Jill's a member of Blackhawk Trout Unlimited, just like I am, and so we like to go fly fishing. All right, that'll be a fun segment.
Yeah, it was fun. I was running the camera boat that day, and I was a little envious of you ladies catching all those gills.
It was cool.
It's a lot of fun. And coming up, there's all kinds of events coming up. There's a Walleyes for Tomorrow banquet, the Milwaukee River Basin chapter. That's coming up April 26th at Clifford's Supper Club in Hales Corners. That's on Forest Home. And this Saturday, the 31st, and for a lot of listeners, of course, that's today at Gander Mountain in Kenosha. Mike Ripp is doing a turkey hunting clinic starting at noon. And if you've never attended one of those DNR three-hour turkey seminar marathons, you learn a lot, I'll tell you.
Yeah, okay. And then I know Bass Pro Shop coming up April 14th, that's a Saturday, they're having Outdoor University, and they're going to have all these seminars. Award-winning pros like Jimmy Houston, Gary Parsons, Keith Kavayak, and Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie, Kurt Samo, I mean, these are big names. And they're going to be at Bass Pro April 14th and 15th.
That's the Bass Pro in Gurnee.
Correct.
Now, weren't you at a DU dinner just recently?
Oh, I was, yeah. That was a lot of fun. I was down at the Wistosha Ducks Unlimited banquet and was there with Rich Bizek and some of the other members. Bob Estes, I'm sure you remember, we did a duck hunt with, and Jennifer Niemeyer. And I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of cool prizes. We raised a lot of money for ducks.
So. You win a gun?
I did not, but I tried. I tried to win the gun, the safe, the grill. They had all these cool prizes. So I'm saving up my money for the Trout Unlimited banquet at the end of April. So one way or the other, maybe I'll win something.
Yeah. And one more thing before we sign off. The Wonders of Wisconsin competition is still open through the 15th of April. You go to wondersofwisconsin.com, and you can vote for the natural and man-made wonder of your choice. And now I think it's time to sign off. You've been listening to Outdoors with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. This is a production of Dan Small Outdoors, LLC. Music by Warren Nelson. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.
When the loon cries, lover, in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy